Welcome to Indie Radio Garden. This week's highlights from community radio in the Philadelphia region. As we are nearing the end of Black History Month, this time of year has an even greater meaning for many in this country as we all survive through this global pandemic. We're paying tribute to great African Americans this year in particular, a jazz musician, as you will hear, a poet, as well as two labor organizers. They have had an enormous influence and made meaningful contributions to societal trends and traditions currently. Today, we have a selection from Germantown's highly regarded jazz musician, Monette Suttler and Trippetta Mason, Poet Laureate of Philadelphia, introduced by Paula Paul from WRLG LP 92.9, Germantown Live Enrichment Center.
Welcome to the Artist Roundtable, the creative voice of Germantown, where every week we celebrate and explore the artistic community of Germantown. Our show is brought to you by a local network of visual, literary, and performing artists who live or work in G-Town.
But listening to several compositions from the CD, This Is How We Get Through, by Monette Suttler and Trippetta Mason. We're going to hear It's Jazz, then Read, the piece For Some Sisters, then Say Her Name, then On the Way to Kuya, and finally, One Flame. This is how we get through. Monette Suttler, so sit back and enjoy.
The first pluck will have you hooked. Gliding on her slick strings, longing for strumming. Tapping that rigid neck. So much power inlaid with grace. And you jump into that well of hollowed wood, that well from which all good things flow. So you're here now, it's jazz. So what you come for? You want that spiritual bars, 12 bars of blues today? The kind that's brewed in the deep south, the stuff that work songs, chants, and shouts are all about? Or you want Andalusia, the mystery of the Moors, the vigor, the rhythm of flamenco, the cante jando, the deep song, hand clapping and feet stamping, force and beauty and despair. You'll hear now, it's jazz. You want to be amplified, vibrations resonating. You come for jazz, for music with roots, from rut gut to mellow bellied. Ooh, it's jazz, sweet syncopations, fretting and trials and tribulations charted. What you here for? You need to be rocked, to be funked, to be countryfied and bluegrass. What about your soul? Your soul needs some finger picking, needs some popping your smooth. What about the Rasta songs, mariachi, metal and acoustic? You're here now. It's jazz. You need her, the guitar, that elegant tease, that thump and bop, that hipster, that hippie. You need her, that machine, that mother, that magnificent monster. You are here now and she beckons in all her jazzy glory. Put your ear to her lovely bones. Put your ear to her lovely bones. Let her stir you, let her move you. You're here now and it's jazz. Some books are built hard with stitched backs, boarded covers, protecting leaves, enfolding narratives. They will be your armor, so shield them to your chest. Grip them to your ribcage, hoist them to your back. Read when those bullies descend, gawking. When they say you ugly and ordinary and nothing. Taunting and pointing. Pressing and edging you. Books will save you. Strap them like a metal vest. Duck and weave. Spit out vocabulary to blunt their insults. Escape through the trapdoors of prose. Dangle off the cliff of poetry and hold on. Some books are fragile and pliable, frayed edges, tattered folios, sweet-smelling and scar-riddled, safeguarding stories. They will seize you. Read when mothers and fathers leave, when they hurt, when they fling words like girls don't, girls shouldn't, a girl couldn't, when the TV asks you to drop it like it's hot, to let it bounce, to take it off. When the boy who wants to holler is so fine, and you so lonely, and you so hurting, and you so curious, and he's there and your daddy ain't. Books will be your megaphone, your soapbox, your abstinence pledge, your no means no, and I've got places to go and things to do, so I ain't messing with you. Read. Some books come at you swift, spine upright, bold and boisterous. Loud stories towing you out of four square blocks, then dragging you across continents. Read like you are that history. You are Makita, queen of Sheba. You Nefertiti, you Nzinga. Read like your laughter is music, and you cracking up this world, breaking stereotypes, ghetto theories, and urban legend. Read like your feet hold thunder, and you bringing up the dust of your ancestors, like your grandmothers and grandfathers built the bricks and the mortars, carved your chair in the university, planted your ivy, and etched your name on the chalkboard. Listen, listen. In spite of it all, we've learned to love ourselves. In spite of it all, we've learned to face those wounds of the past, and sometimes they were stinging wounds filled with salt. We learn to lick them clean. We learn to let them heal, for we are the women now. There is so much beauty in a sister who loves herself. We smile at ourselves every time we can stand up straight without tipping over, for we are balanced now. We can look at this here skin and we are satisfied. Look at this body with the wide hips and the heavy thighs and we are satisfied. All those interested in disturbing our peace of mind are denied entrance here. We do not wish to be put through changes, not hit, cursed, or manipulated. See, you got to love us or leave us alone. Love us or leave us alone. Say her name. Let it slide out of you like it's consecrated. Say her name like a supplication. Let it grace your lips like sacred psalms. Say her name like a proclamation. In every line you must decree her. Say it like that rhythm in her hips, all mysterious and mesmerizing. Say it like that crown atop her head, bejeweled and badass, adorned and decked out. Say it. Say it like your parched throat been quenched with her waters, like your feverish brow been cooled with her breath. She is woman. Call her builder of people and places and possibilities, fixer of wretched, wounded, and wayward, lover of men, of women, of babies, of beauty, owner of joy and peace, generator of protest and justice and fire. Say her name like a mantra. Say her name like a mantra. Say her name like a mantra. Over and over until the breeze chants it back. Over and over until she ceases to be called out of her name. Until she can freely claim what is hers. Until her body is not a political agenda. Until her sexuality is not sensationalized. Until her intelligence is not marginalized. Until her color is not snubbed and slighted. Say her name until there is no more. She's good for a woman. She's smart for a woman. She's acting like a man. Say it. We had just left Monrovia, and we're piled in the back of Rich's work pickup truck. And we are pressed knee to knee, thigh to thigh, sweat on skin. Bob Marley booms from the speaker, then the lesser lauded Lucky Doobie, who pauses for his trio of background, singing ladies to chant to us. Do you want to be a well-fed slave or a hungry free man? Do you want to be a well-fed slave or a hungry free man? We are in Liberia, and it is 5 days before Trump's immigration travel ban is announced. And I don't yet have an answer to Lucky's question, but my head bobs along to his roots rock reggae as we drive by towns with names so sweet like candy or honest grown folks love that it stumps me. Bototo, Bekom, Same, Saokoko, Batala, Zienzu, Mamu, Salala. My niece and the others laugh as I mouth each word, practicing pellet. They tell me that some names mean by the river or water, or by the road or lake, or simply town. But I only hear music as each one passes quickly in the rearview mirror, flies off away from the one lone paved highway we're on, away from Lucky's urgent croning. Do you want to be a well-fed slave or a hungry free man? Do you want to be a well-fed slave or a hungry free man?
You just heard a number of wonderful pieces from the wonderful guitarist and vocalist Manette Sudler and spoken word artist and poet Trapeta Mason from their CD, This Is How We Get Through. Both fabulous women who bring their multiple talents to grace us. And of course, where do they live, these fabulous women? Why, it's in our community, of course.
We love being with you and hope you enjoyed our show today. You've been listening to the Artist Roundtable, the creative voice of Germantown at 92.9 FM.
And from Radio Kata, WCNU LP 102.5, our allied station of the Farm Workers Support Committee, Marge Nieta, did a couple of interviews with two labor organizers of the Warehouse Workers for Justice, Bobby Frierson and Mark Ballantyne, who are fighting to organize workers and defend their rights in the midst of the pandemic, without guarantees, suffering workplace harassment, and many times dismissal for retaliation for organizing themselves.
Esta es una proyección de Radio Kata para la red de noticias de Scrap.
My name is Bobby Frierson, and I'm an organizer for the Warehouse Workers for Justice.
What we do is we educate workers on their rights in the workplace. I was once a worker in a warehouse who just didn't know I had rights at work. You know, I thought I was supposed to do whatever the company says until somebody educated me. So what we do is we educate workers on their rights in the workplace and teach them how to win fights around those issues.
For how long were you a worker?
I worked in the warehouse pretty much all of my life.
And when did you become an organizer?
So, yeah, about 4 years ago, I organized my shop.
Kind of generally describe what the warehouse work is like.
The conditions are really bad. I mean, it's slavery without the whips and without the whips. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're forced to work at a frantic pace and produce unrealistic numbers. And it's all for profits of big business at the expense of your health and safety. It's controlled by fear that needs to be regulated by a better group than OSHA.
A lot of the work is done by subcontractors, and I know that's a difficult system for workers to work within for their rights.
Yeah.
Can you explain a little bit about how that impacts?
What temp agencies do is they confuse workers to not know who they work for. Like,
mm-hmm.
like temp agencies are worse than direct companies because with the fear of a temp agency, you will lose your job at that company and you'll no longer be able to work in the industry. I've dealt with workers who hurt themselves at work, and just because they're a temp, they just go home and just chalk it up. And they're scared to report the injury because they want to be able to work again.
So, and I'm assuming there's quite a bit of injury within the industry?
Oh, it's ridiculous. Some of these factories, like the injury rates are ridiculous. Like factories like Amazon, for every 100 employees, 10 of them get injured.
And what type of injuries do they usually occur?
You know, a common injury in the warehouse is like a rotator cuff injury. I mean, injury. It's
mm-hmm.
like an injury from repeating of the same motions over and over.
Workers aren't, are they able to unionize?
The fear of retaliation with the organizer. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I was once a warehouse worker who organized my shop, and
mm-hmm.
2 days before our election, I was fired. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's just a natural defense against organizing. It's like, when they find wind of you organizing, they fire you.
Right.
And then it's your word against theirs. And I mean, fortunately for me, I was one of the ones who won in the court. But it's so
mm-hmm.
many workers who don't win and who just swept under the bus.
Given those conditions, how has COVID-19 impacted the workforce in warehouses?
COVID has made the work in the warehouse maybe the most dangerous work as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Reason being is you can't social distance in those warehouses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of companies say, like, they got social distancing policies going on, but the work can't be done that way. All those companies care about our profits over people. So they want the work done as fast as possible at the expense of a lot of workers' lives. And in the industry, workers have lost their lives during these times.
So what happens when folks have gotten sick?
Nothing. These companies just go about business as business. They've done nothing. I mean, in some cases, like, they offer workers, like, if you feel, like, concerned or something with COVID, you can take 2 weeks off. But
mm-hmm.
these workers can't afford that. For a worker to take 2 weeks off, it probably lead them to getting evicted. So they give the worker the option to take the time off,
mm-hmm.
knowing that a worker realistically can't afford to take the time off.
Has the companies provided at least, you know, protective equipment?
I mean, you hear about workers getting masks and,
mm-hmm.
you know, hand sanitizer and stuff. But, I mean, it wasn't done when the pandemic first started. It's like they're moving away from it now when the threat is still real. Like, it's still a hazard. They told all these workers they were essential,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't treat them essential.
Right.
Like, workers got an extra $600 a week just to sit at home for unemployment. And yet workers didn't even receive hazard pay who were considered essential. All they got was a pass to move around. It's like, you got to ask yourself, are these essential workers or essential sacrifices?
I mean, I know each shop is different, but in general, have workers tried to push the employer to make things better?
Yeah, actually, some workers at a Mars factory came together, got got a petition, got most of the shop signed up on a petition, turned the petition into management, and instead of management dealing with the issue, they fired them. Mm. They retaliated against them. They're too worried about workers organized.
So what do you think needs to be done or should be done to protect the warehouse workers?
I honestly believe the work just needs to slow down. They need to give them the right to social distance a little and just make it safer. When there's cases of COVID, shut the place down and clean it up. Business isn't that important. It can't be more important than life.
You know, like you said, people are giving their lives for the industry. Is there any policy changes that you feel that need to be made?
Just cause would be great. A real mm-hmm. reason to like fire workers. Because realistically, you can go to work and you can just be fired because you got a blue shirt on. What I think the warehouse industry needs is a union, just like coppers have a union. So someone who can regulate the industry, because right now it's controlled by temp agencies and they're driving the industry straight to the bottom.
So it's something that may be holding the parent companies.
Temp agencies aren't holding it. It keeps workers from holding the parent company accountable. A temp agency is directly stealing workers' wages an hour. Like a worker will work for $12 for a temp agency alongside someone who works at the company for $25 an hour. For 4 or 5 years, those wages could have been going to that worker.
Curious to know how COVID has impacted you as an organizer.
It's made the work tough, just like mm-hmm. with the safety precautions, because I'm not able to get in front of as many workers as I once was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not able to have the same interactions, like the face-to-face interactions with work, you know, with things switching to digital. It just makes organizing and educating workers so much harder, because when talking with people about their jobs, it's really their livelihood. And those conversations are done so much better in person via Zoom. You know, things become more personal and you just have better conversations in person with workers.
Yeah.
It's just made the organizing so much harder for my safety and for others.
How many warehouse workers are there in your area?
Thousands. Hundreds of thousands in Chicago and Chicagoland area. Joliet is like the biggest hub. It's where all 7 railroads meet. So it's like pretty much if a product is going through, it's coming through Joliet. That's where all the workers work at. So yeah, it's a ton of workers.
You know, being inside the warehouse, I mean, I know the warehouses are spacious, but, and you say that you're working fast and close together. Is there ventilation within
no.
there?
They may open a dock door or something, but no, there's no ventilation. There's mm-hmm. nothing like that. They don't have that type of system in place inside of warehouses. And yeah, don't get me wrong. A lot of these warehouses are huge. The space is for the product, and all the work is done close together. The space isn't for the workers. The space is so they can store the product that the workers produce.
Do you feel that given COVID, that workers would be more inclined to push for their rights?
You see companies coming down more and more on workers during COVID, and you see workers becoming scarier and scarier. It's a fear in the industry of being retaliated against. Workers are scared. I mean, I was once scared of being retaliated against, and it got me fired.
So it's almost having the opposite effect because of COVID and because of so much unemployment from COVID.
Exactly.
People are just trying to keep their job.
Yeah, I think so. Because, I mean, during COVID, like, workers all over the world have spoken up. And they were retaliated against. A lot of these companies, they took concern for a month or so. And it was like, all right, they took the hazard pay back from most of these workers, you know, and they just put them back out there. I just didn't understand it. You told people who you didn't consider essential to stay home, and you gave them bonus money. But you told workers that, hey, you guys are essential. You guys are needed to make this country run. And you did nothing. I mean, they could have at least gave the essential workers some health care, some help if they get sick at work. Nothing was done for essential workers.
Is there anything else that you feel you'd like to mention or say that I haven't asked you?
What I do want to say is we got to come together. We got to organize these shops. We got to do something about this. We got to stick together. I mean, I know it's a hard time, and I know you're scared, but we got to do this. Workers need to know the power that they have. When they fight, they win. Work won't get done without them. These companies are making millions, billions, and trillions off their back. They should be receiving these benefits. What warehouse workers need to realize is that they control the economy. They say if they all decide to stop, they can shut down the nation.
Mm-hmm.
They can shut down the world. Like, a warehouse worker has more power than they understand.
Can you explain a little bit more about the conditions of work?
Some warehouses are taking special precautions. Back in March, when the craze first hit, where everybody was told to stay at home, and Mars Candy Company /SPO, they share a building with DHL. And what they did was they was hanging plastic onto coat racks. The machines that we work at is require us to be side by side. But what we did was We was material handlers where we opened the boxes of candy and poured it into the bin, which goes through the machine and it bags up the supersize of the sneakers and Milky Way. So they wanted us to actually stand in between the plastic they put around the coat hanger. It still wasn't safe enough because it wasn't no social distance. We were still side by side, and then sometimes some of the candy will run faster than the other candy. So that meant people will have to help you in order to keep the machine running. At first, I felt unsafe about that. And then when I spoke to a few coworkers after, you know, a couple of coworkers disappeared, and, you know, I'm wondering where these people at. So when I finally talked to them on the phone, well, I got COVID-19. Okay, I was just working next to you a week ago. Nobody warned me that you had COVID-19. When it became, people started speaking up about it, they didn't even shut down. They just cleaned the place. But DHL never cleaned and never sanitized their side. They went in the lunchroom. They want to take every other seat out because they don't want us next to each other, but you still got us across from each other. So where's the social distancing? So I just felt the place just wasn't safe enough. This was a serious matter, and I don't see why candy is essential during a pandemic. You know, but I guess we're bagging up Halloween candy in April, and you're telling me that this is an essential. Mm-hmm. I just didn't see that. So me taking it upon myself, I was like, I'm not coming back in here. Because first of all, you're not warning people. And second of all, you're not taking the proper precautions inside the warehouse.
Did a lot of people get ill during this time?
Yeah, quite a few people got ill that I know of.
Right.
And like I said, how I found out about these people was from their mouth. You know, it wasn't like XPO warned us, okay, we in here, 10 people in here test positive. Okay, we're going to shut down and you need to go get tested before you come back to work, which I think would have been a proper thing to do. I just felt that they didn't really have our best interest in their heart. That just don't sound right to me. How can you know people tested positive and you study letting people that didn't test positive come back into the building without being warned?
As folks were realizing the pandemic was getting worse and they were getting sick, were folks trying to tell the company, you know, hey, we have to do things different?
Matter of fact, one of my friends that was working there with me, this part of WWJ also, he spoke on it and they actually fixed it where they can get rid of him. Yeah, he got fired for talking. And people, oh, he's talking too much. No, he's not. The man is concerned about, he needs his job, true enough, to take care of his family, but he's also concerned about his health. So I couldn't understand, where did you get that he's a troublemaker? But see, that's the thing with these companies, especially if you're a temp worker. When you're a temp worker and black, and you got a legitimate question, you become a troublemaker. And that's what they labeled him, and they let him go. And right now, he's fighting it. And they don't like that when you make a point. No, you're not supposed to make a point. You're just supposed to do what the hell we tell you to do and keep your mouth shut. Those days are over with, especially when someone know they right. Everybody is there for one purpose. Gain a rightful job where you can take care of your... They figure if they can get you at a cheaper price and let the temp service deal with all that, that's good for their business. But I'm going to keep continuing making noise. And WWG give me that right to, they like my leeway to what I want to do. They let my voice be heard. They put me in positions where I can say what's on my mind with respect and get people to listen.
Like when they do have to be out for illness or taking care of a family member who's ill, are they getting paid?
I had a young lady that called me the other day, and she worked for a temp service at Mars. And she was working with two regular workers from Mars. One of the guys from Mars caught the corona, and she was working directly with them. And, you know, they told her she had to quarantine, and now the XPO people got paid. But the temp worker was not paid. She had to take off work, but she wasn't paid. So now she got a quarantine because somebody from your company has the disease, and now she got to sit at home and not get paid. I think that's the time when the XPO and the temp service both should be liable.
What do you think needs to be done to help protect workers?
First of all, I think hazardous pay should be number one. I think the place should be maintained better for us, like taking temperatures, making sure the areas are sanitized. You know, I think the cleaning should step up with the cleaning. They mostly that hazardous pay. If you're going to force me to come to work, pay me. Just like if they can't go to work, I think it shouldn't be a question about them applying for unemployment. The CDC and OSHA should take a little bit more precaution, and they really need to investigate what these companies are doing. You know, these are people's lives. These are not some type of machines that was built. You're dealing with people's lives. They got to go home to their families. Got to go home to their children. This is a crisis, and if we all supposed to be United States and America and everybody's created equal and all that, then we're supposed to come together on this. I think we're going to be on this thing way into the year 2021. Hey, you stay safe, cover up, wash your hands, social distance, okay?
I will.
Thank you for tuning in to MB Radio Garden. Thank you, everyone. My name is James Bailey with WHGE-LP 95.3, Wilmington, Delaware. This is a Prometheus Radio Project production.